Hello, friends, and welcome to Page Chewing Comics and Manga Pick of the Week, Weekly Pulls, or Weekly Pulls Pick of the Week, either way. This is issue number 39, and I'm back this week with some of my picks. Mike is traveling and not here this week, but he will be back, I believe, next week. But I thought I'd talk to you about some of the books that I pulled this week and just some thoughts on them. And of course, my pick of the week. For those who are new to the podcast, my name is Steve, and Mike and I are both getting back into the world of comics, trying to find things we like, trying to find things that excite us, that grab our attention. So every week we go to our local comic book shop and pick up some books that we think we'll enjoy. And we come every week and we talk about it every Wednesday, and we tell you what we thought about each one, and we pick our pick of the week. So this week it's a solo episode, but don't worry, I have quite a few. I didn't record one last week because I felt like the books that I read just didn't really grab me. None of them really did much for me. But I'll talk about those too, and then I'll talk to you about the books that I pulled this last week, and we'll talk about all of it. So let's get into it. The first book is Kill Your Darlings, number 8. This is the final issue of the series, and it didn't end like I thought it would, which isn't a bad thing, but I think some of it went a little bit over my head. I wasn't really sure how it all wrapped up. I mean, I get that it ended and I get the general idea, but I feel like I missed something. So as usual, the artwork, the colors are all spectacular. They really shine in this last issue. There's a big showdown, a big epic conclusion, and the colors and the artwork really shine in this last issue. And in the final battle, just awesome. Overall, this is a series that had lots of heart. The first issue just struck me how much heart it had. It just felt like it was a passion project, like it was something that the creators really believed in. And you can feel that from the jump. So overall, it was a good series. I enjoyed it, and I'm glad I read it. The conclusion was fine. I think it wasn't a bad conclusion. I just think it just felt a little bit over my head. But overall, a really good series. The next book is Moon Man number 2. This is by Image Comics. And in this second issue, we get the fallout from the mission from the first issue. And our characters are faced with some questions over what happened and some motivations. There was, you know, we get a different viewpoints in this issue with big accomplishments like going to the moon or space exploration that don't really change most people's lives here, you know, down on land. It doesn't really do much for us, but so I think there's this exploring whether, you know, some people see those accomplishments as no big deal because there's really nothing that changes in their daily lives. But other people, they see these accomplishments as motivation, as something to strive for and dream for, and to inspire future generations of what can be accomplished when you gather together and put your minds to something. So I felt like it was wrestling with the corporate side of attention and notoriety. And also with, you know, is it a noble thing to do these things, you know, and because it also inspires people. I thought it was a fun idea to explore and see both sides of it. I'm a little bit bummed with this issue because I especially feel like in this issue we went in the second half more of just a usual kind of run-of-the-mill superhero story. And I felt like this comic had been different. This book had been different. It's kind of a twist on things. And we find ourselves kind of going into territory that's a little bit too familiar. And I wish it hadn't gone this direction. I'm still hoping that we take a turn or something is different about it. I'm holding that hope that it's just not going to be a by-the-numbers superhero story is what I'm continuing. I'm going to continue reading this title because I have a feeling that it's going to surprise us, but it's so far predictable. Hopefully it doesn't stay that way. The next issue or the next book I read was Napalm Lullaby number 2. After the first issue, I wasn't really sure what this book was about. It's very vague. We didn't get a whole lot of information. In the second issue, we did get some background on the characters, what their motivations are, or kind of, you know, what the world is in a way. We're starting to get bits and pieces of what the world is, how it works. It's this, it's a dystopian future and some world building in this issue that was really sorely needed after the first one that felt very, like it was dipping our toes in kind of getting our attention, which it did a really good job with. There's another question in this book that I thought was really interesting because it does wrestle with, if you are someone who is fighting, who kind of spearheads something that changes the world or frees people in some way from a tyrannical government or some kind of force that is holding people down. If you're someone who frees people, who frees a group of people or a large group of people, who decides where it goes from there? What do you do with the remnants of the new world that you helped create? Is it up to you? Is it up to someone else? Who makes that decision, and what kind of world do you create after you free a certain group of people? I thought it was a really interesting question of, you know, is it the person who frees everyone? Is it up to them to decide how to move forward? Or is it something that should be decided by a group? Kind of, because we always get these stories of, you know, there's an oppressive force and you want to overtake it. Once that's done, now what? What do you do next? I felt like it did explore that idea. And I get the feeling that we'll explore more of that as the series goes on. Really excited about it. I think it's off to a great start. I think the second issue was exactly what we needed to kind of build on what we did in the, or what they did. I didn't do anything. Build on what they did in the first issue. So far, I think it's off to a really good start. The next book I picked up was Spawn issue 352. I had jumped back on Spawn after reading way back in the 90s. Way back. And I thought I had heard this is a good jumping on point. After the events of 350, I've been trying to get into more Spawn books, trying to kind of find a way to jump in there and find some footing. Something that I've been struggling with my return back to comics is trying to find books that I can read that I'm not completely lost in, because there's so much continuity, even in a title like Spawn, which has been around for a very long time. This felt like a good time to jump in. And I'm trying to get my footing with it, trying to kind of piece together. I generally know what's going on. So after the events of 350, all the minions from hell and from heaven that are on Earth lost all their powers. They're completely powerless. They're just like we are. They're humans. They're vulnerable. They don't have any superpowers. And it's a perfect time to strike if you're someone on the outside of that bubble that haven't lost your powers. Enter vampires. Vampires have entered the chat, and they are trying to fill that power void that is now left open because of the events of issue 350. I thought it was an interesting take on it. I think it's fun to get something different in besides just heaven and hell going after it. Like I said, I'm not sure if vampires have been a part of the Spawn universe before this, but I think it's fun to see this different force jump in and try to take advantage of the situation now that everyone's powerless. And Spawn does find someone who is a hybrid who is not affected by the events of Spawn 350, which I thought were interesting. I'm not really sure who this person is, but again, I'm just trying to get my footing. I also believe that this is a new artist, the last couple of issues. And while I really loved the previous artist, because I really fell in love with the artist, with the art, I think this new artist is also doing a good job. It's different, but it's not a bad different. It's just different. It's not as vibrant and as 90s feeling, I guess, is the best way I can describe it. But it is fun seeing Spawn have to deal with problems without powers and be careful because he's vulnerable, him and along with everyone else involved in these two sides, this conflict. So yeah, I think it is, I'm glad I jumped in at this point. I think it's revving up for an interesting arc. Not really sure where it's going to go. Now the next book I picked up was When the Blood Has Dried, issue 1. This is by Mad Cave. I wasn't really sure what this was all about. It is kind of a fantasy type of book. In this first issue, we're introduced to Mabel, I believe. And we see her in the past and the present, some events that have happened to her before. We get a little piece of something that happened to her, I believe, 5 years previous to when we meet her now. She's running a pub, and she feels like she's free from her past. Like she's, it almost feels like she's hiding out from someone that hurt her or was out to get her from before, that we get a glimpse at in the first couple of pages. And of course we find out that she's not free and clear like she may have thought she was. And I really like those stories of someone has a past, they're trying to move on, they're trying to find redemption in some way, they're trying to hide, trying to start a new life, and life catches up to them. Their past catches up to them. Their past comes knocking on that door, just like we always expect it to in some ways. I really enjoy those types of stories. Kind of raises the question of, can we escape our past? Can we move on? And can we find a new life? Can we build a new life? Or is the past always going to come knocking? The groundwork from this, for this story in the first issue, I thought was laid really well. Really enjoyed it. The artwork was fine. It wasn't my favorite, but it's good. And the first issue really did hook me. I think the first issue, that's kind of what the first issue has to do, is hook you. And I'm completely hooked. I think it's a great presentation, a great kind of jump start to this title that I am on. I'm on board for. The next one is another Mad Cave book. This is Charred Remains number 5. Now, this one wasn't an important issue for me, because I kind of felt like this, while it started off really strong for me, there was a couple of issues there that really built on characters, really built them up. And then it kind of felt like we're going to go into a all too familiar territory. In this fifth issue, it really leans into the horror. It leans into those kind of story beats of horror, slasher, kind of paranormal, I guess you could say. And it really works for me because it did spend time building characters. It spent time laying that groundwork, putting that work in, making us care about the characters, giving us background, that when it did introduce more of the horror aspects, it was more impactful because it took the time to make our characters sympathetic and relatable in some way. So I really felt like this fifth issue delivered. I was on the fence. I wasn't sure where I was going to go. And the explanation of our villain, I thought was really interesting. It surprised me. I thought it was going to be another run-of-the-mill kind of slasher, evil, you know, arson person. But it really did kind of put a spin on it that I thought was really interesting. I thought it is not blazing new ground necessarily. But I did like what they did with it. I liked how it was presented. Like I said, the build up, I felt like it did take the time to make something like this pay off. I think it did a great job. Again, the artwork, I've been saying this the whole time, the artwork does feel very, very bright. Like it's on, like the pages are on fire. Kind of the colors have those like a brightness to them, like a dull brightness, like a firewood, you're by firelight. It really works. It really gives you that feeling of fire. Yeah. So yeah, overall, I think it's doing a great job. And I think what especially excites me about this one is I'm not sure that we're going to get a happy ending. And not that I want our characters to fail, but I do like the possibility of they may not make it out of this. That's exciting for me. Because when there's nothing at stake, it's not as interesting. So I am on board with this one. I'm 2 feet on board with Charred Remains. I think they're doing a fantastic job with that one. Now the next one is another Mad Cave book, now that I look at my notes, and that is Dick Tracy number 1. Now this took me back to way back to 1990, the Warren Beatty film that was all the rage. If you were alive during that time, if you were, if you've seen the movie or kind of the hype around it, it was this huge movie. Everyone was reading Dick Tracy again. All of a sudden it was cool to like Dick Tracy for a little while anyway. But yes, I'm old, and I expected this comic to be cheesy, and it was. It had its cheesy moments. I think you have to have a little bit of cheese if you're going to put the reader into this old setting, the, you know, the way that people talked, I think they delivered on that. You kind of need a little bit of cheese, right, for a Dick Tracy book. You have to have a good amount of cheese. But it also had a fair amount of violence that I was not expecting. It starts off pretty bloody with a pretty violent scene that, yeah. So I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, because if it's too cheesy, you know, I think it would not necessarily appeal to as many people. But when you add in a little bit more, make it a little bit more violent and more adult, again, raising the stakes, you know, creating villains, creating our, you know, rooting for our hero, which is Dick Tracy. You do wonder why he's wearing a yellow jacket. I mean, he seems like he'd be an easy target for people looking for him. Not hard to pick out of a crowd, but that's just the character. But the artwork also worked for me because it gave everyone, it has that Dick Tracy feel. Everyone with the square jaws and the build, and they'll have that typical look to those characters that really fit. I think the artwork fit the tone, and I like the little twist of violence because it did leave something at stake. It did feel like something is at stake here, and I like that. I think it worked pretty good. I wasn't completely excited to read this one, to be honest. I mean, I thought it looked fine, but it delivered. I was surprised that I liked it so much, that it was good. I'll read the second issue. I hope it doesn't get lean too far into the cheesiness. And I think this first issue had enough cheese and violence that it didn't lean too much into one or the other, that it kind of had a little bit of both. When you lean too far into it, then I think you start losing people like me who, I don't want all the cheese. I don't want all the violence, not all the time, but I think it worked really well. I was surprised, pleasantly surprised. Now for my pick of the week, this is, I'm really glad I didn't record an episode last week, because this week I am just over the moon on this last issue that I'm going to talk about, which is my pick. That is The Infernals number 3. This is by Image Comics. For those who aren't familiar, The Infernals is basically Secession, the show Secession, if I can pronounce it, in hell. For, you know, that's basically the line. It's basically the plug for it. So that's the hook, is Secession for hell. And let's hope that this series doesn't fall apart in the second half like Secession did. Yeah, I said it. That's a topic for another day. Anyway, what really shines here is the artwork. The artwork is beautiful. I just love the art. It just bounces off the page. Really works. It really fits the story. The colors, the line work, the characters. You know what? Another thing that really reminded me of, you know, we don't always notice lettering. At least I think most people don't. You don't notice lettering. I think some letterers probably try to not draw attention to the lettering, but the lettering on this book is just spectacular. You really notice it because it's done so well and it fits the book. It has this kind of, you know, it has the look of something you'd be reading that was this kind of topic, this kind of book. Really, really great lettering. I mean, I know it's weird to compliment lettering so much, but I think it's just done really, really well. I think lettering stands out when it's done really, really well or really, really bad. So I don't know if letterers try to be not too showy sometimes and just not take attention away from the other aspects of the book, like artwork or dialogue or the text. I'm not sure if they do or not. If you're a letterer and want to talk about it, let me know. But anyway, I just love this book. I can't say enough good things about it. For this one, it is heaven and hell battling it out for the future of Earth and the human, and potentially the human race. And the patriarch, is about to die. He's about to pass, and he's trying to find who's going to take the torch, who's going to carry hell into the future. And there's not only heaven and hell battling out, but there's also other forces within hell vying for power, as you would probably guess. I mean, they're trying to you know, everyone sees that there's about to be a big power vacuum, and someone has to take that those reins. And there's more than just heaven to worry about for these soldiers from hell. Yeah, I think that dynamic is really the funnest part of the book as far as the story goes, and the humor really, really works. It's a dry, droll humor it's just enough. You know, it's not too much. It doesn't lean into it too much. It's the right times, the right place. It's just enough to make you laugh, and then it moves on back to the story. I think that when it leans into humor too much, it's really tough for me anyway to get me into the humor. I'm really picky about humor, but this book just delivers on damn near every level. So I'm just over the moon on this book. You know, we have heaven and hell. We have the family dynamics of, you know, everyone's vying for power to be the next up in line to take over. We have other forces in hell trying to you know, weasel their way in and take over. So yeah, there's all these different angles going on, but it doesn't feel like it. It flows really smoothly. There's all these different players, but it all works. It all feels really smooth. You don't notice how much is happening until after, when you think about it, if that makes any sense. So yeah, it is a dark, twisted, and hellish version of Succession, only better, at least so far. And let's hope it doesn't fall apart like that show did. If you like that show, I'm just teasing, but not really. So yeah, The Infernals number 3 is my pick of the week. Just over the moon about that book, and I wanted to talk to you about it. So thanks so much for listening. I hope you're having a fantastic week. I hope you're enjoying what you're reading. If you have any suggestions for me or for Mike, come and visit us on our forums at pagetoing.com. Come and say hello. We have a great little community there, a really tightly knit community full of just really wonderful people. Come on and talk comics with us. We talk books, movies, music, anything you can think of. If you'd like to connect with me, I can also be found on the Page Chewing podcast or the Film Chewing podcast. All the links are down below in the description if you would like to check those out. Again, thank you for listening. Hope you're having a fantastic week. Hope you're doing well. If you, if you'd like to tell me about what you're reading, I'd love to hear about it. Reach out and say hello. And until next time, we will talk to you soon.